Hello, everybody. My name's Luke Robinson, and I'm a lecturer at the University of Sussex in film studies. Originally, I was supposed to be doing a kind of straight-up introduction to the film, because it's quite a complex film which deals with quite a complicated period in Taiwanese history, and a lot of British kind of viewers aren't necessarily kind of au fait with it, so it was just as a way of, I suppose, easing you in. But that was before we knew that the director, Huang Yali, was actually going to be with us. So what we're going to do instead, since the film is rather long, is rather than do a Q&A at the end, is to do a kind of short conversation Q&A to introduce to you kind of what kind of happens and hopefully kind of ease you in that way. And we're accompanied by Tilda Lee, who is very helpfully going to do the translation for us. Okay, so just to start, I mean, the film is called Le Moulin. So could you perhaps just tell us what Le Moulin was and kind of who was part of it, I suppose?
今天这个放映主要是针对这个1930年代在1933年在台湾成立的一个风车诗社，那它是在日治时期，也是日本统治时期的时候，一群年轻人他们在台湾台南创发自己的社团。
I will translate paragraph by paragraph. First, he introduced the name Le Moulin. It was a poem society founded in 1930s, specifically 1933, under the Japanese occupation in Taiwan. It was a bunch of young people in the south of Taiwan. They founded this society to introduce the Western modern literature point of view to Asia, to Taiwan, to create a new Taiwanese literature in this area.
那雷姆勒这个名字之所以会成立，它是来自于对于这个法国西方文艺的一个憧憬。如果大家有一些知识背景的认识，应该知道，在1920年代，所谓这个法国的美好年代，那种热切的对于文艺的渴求的热情的讨论，发生在这个。 这个红磨坊等等的这样的一些地方的一种艺文的想象，其实他们对于这群风车诗人来说，他们也非常热切的希望把这样的一种对于热述艺术的热情可以引进台湾，并且创造出一个具有革命性的、开创性的一种文学实验的一个开始。
So basically, Le Moulin, it was kind of the fantasy of the Taiwan young people of the 1920s France. The France at that time was during the golden age, like people have a passion for literature and art. So this bunch of young people, they kind of want to import this passion for art and literature to Taiwan and created a revolutionary and experiment during that social area.
所以这个影片当然对于西方观众来说，也许比较容易接收到的就是关于西方文学艺术的一些部分。那对于亚洲的历史的部分，我想主要我先大概讲一下台湾的殖民统治时期，日本统治时期是从1895年到1945年。 大概有50年之间，那风车诗社成员基本上是出生在1910年前后的这个世代，所以他们成长茁壮于1930年代，那样对于文学最富于热情的一个青壮时期，所以在这样的一个时期，他们也努力的到日本求学之后，把这个。 文学创作的这个热情带回了台湾，希望可以在台湾找到一个属于自己土地上的语言。当然，很不幸的， 作为一个殖民地的台湾啊，它无法拥有自己的创作语言啊，这是首先作为殖民地的文学者必须要面对的一个很严肃的一个基本的问题。
So next, he gave a little introduction about the historical and social background in the 1930s Taiwan. Actually, Taiwan was under the Japanese occupation from 1895 all the way through to 1945. So it's like 50 years under the Japanese occupation. The members of the Le Moulin Poem Society, they were born in 1910s. And so the society was basically active in 1930s when they were the 28 young people, very passionate about literature and art. They went to Japan to be educated. They went to university there and they hoped to bring back the point of view about literature and art to Taiwan. But unfortunately, under the Japanese colonization, they cannot write the poems in their own language. So they have to use the Japanese to write the poems.
那在1930年的政治背景方面啊，在日本的左翼的例如说是左翼的一些政治运动基本上已经在日本国内跟在台湾都被肃清到一个阶段了，甚至台湾的一些早年比较大的剧烈的一个反抗运动也都被压制了。那在这样的情况下，其实30年代尤其是30年中期前后，从日本内地已经发展出一些纯文艺的想法也就是为艺术而艺术的一些主张那这些主张也让风车诗社接手过来作为一个新的创作观的开启。
So politically, in the 1930s, under the Japanese occupation, the social resistance of the left-wing revolutionary party, they are kind of under the high pressure of the Japanese government. They were kind of wiped out and silenced at that time. At the same time, in the mainland of Japan, the island, like there is a point of view called Art for Art, towards the literature point of view. So this bunch of young people, they kind of borrowed this Art for Art viewpoint and import it just to Taiwan.
所以风车诗社究竟是为了反抗殖民而提倡为艺术而艺术呢，还是说他们本身基于自己的偏好来选择一条生根文学的纯艺术之路这个问题我想没有答案就都会在观众看完之后来赋予解释那台湾其实因为在战后长期的戒严时期国民党政府对于这个跟日文相关的跟日本相关的所有的一切的压制跟禁止导致以日文为创作的这一群战前的这些文学家不止风车还有当时其他的日文创作者都全面的晋升甚至很多都放弃了创作甚至还要再学习新的语言就是中文那风车诗社在战后选择的是放弃了中文进行创作甚至还卷入了政治的迫害包含228事变和白色恐怖时期甚至有人也为此而失去了生命所以从风车诗社看到的我们其实可以很清楚的看到的是30年代日本的政权的殖民下还保有了一定程度的这个创作开放性以及对于西方文艺的一个重新转化的思考到了40年代文学变成一种奉公报国的工具不再能够为纯粹艺术而发展到了50年代之后卷入了这个政治风波甚至失去了生命所以从风车诗社身上我们其实已经看到了整个台湾历史从30年代到50年代初期1952年的这样的一个时代的背景
So after the World War II, the Kuomintang, means the Nationalist Party, they fled back to Taiwan and took over the government of Taiwan. Under this martial law area, all the colonization of the Japan were kind of wiped out from the history. The people who wrote and spoke Japanese, and they were under high pressure and under control. They were silenced at that time. So about, as for Le Moulin, the society refused to, no, they gave up writing new poems in Mandarin or Chinese. And also several, one member was involved into the political, how do you say, like poor high, like harm by the government. It's like, oh, executed. Thank you so much. One member was even executed by the Kuomintang party. So in the 1940s, all the literature went into a kind of a propaganda style. They worked for the government. So basically, the life circle of the Le Moulin, the Poem Party, they reflected the host history from 1930s to the early 1950s of Taiwan.
Thank you. I think you've covered kind of all the background in one fell swoop, which is great. Perhaps you'd like to talk to us a bit about kind of your approach to the film, because it's deliberately experimental. You use kind of imaginative recreations of the relationships between some of the people in Le Moulin, but you also pair that with period footage, with actual kind of copies of books which they published, which were produced, and kind of images, photographs from the period. And also actually kind of quotations from the poetry. So maybe you could just say why you decided to kind of take this approach to this particular subject matter.
其实这部影片在已经放映了一年多来，在这个尤其是在台湾自己国家内部做了非常多的放映，那对于非常多的观众是一个不太一样的一个看电影观影的经验。那特别是因为它里面有大量的史料，包含了各个领域的艺术家他们的素材作品。那这一些综合的非常大量的资料。有许多观众表示要在超过两个半小时的这样的长度接受这么大量的讯息，是某种程度的疲劳轰炸。所以我非常感谢大家今天坐在这边，可以用一种非常开阔的一个视野跟状态来接收这些讯息。那除了刚刚讲到的非常大量的历史的背景之外。我想这部影片并不试图给大家带来所谓传统纪录片知识性的这个理解，或者是提供知识性的这个整理，反而是一个对于历史素材或者是创作素材的一个重新感受，重新知觉，那重新赋予一种新的诠释的一个可能性。那我想这些可能性。交到观众手里，那再透过这个对于每一个人所理解的也许是台湾的，也许是属于你自己国家的任何历史的这样的一些认识之后，这两者之间会产生新的撞击，就会产生新的历史诠释。所以我觉得这影片你不一定要了解亚洲历史，你也不用了解台湾历史，但是你一样可以形成你对于这件事情的看法，而且这个看法是属于 每个个体有的。你该先翻。
Thank you so much. I'll try my best to cover all the information he just talked about. This film has already been shown around the world for more than 1 year, and I got some feedbacks and experience from the previous audiences. In this film, I used all kinds of the historical materials, including the paintings and the photographs from different artists. So during the 2 hours and a half, during this during the whole film. Some audiences, it's maybe too much information to accept and receive. So thank you, you guys, for sitting here to watch this film. You will see this film. It is very different from the traditional documentary. It's not just about information and knowledge. It's also about the reconstruction of the materials, the historical materials. And I want to give my personal reinterpretation about the history and literature. I want to open up the possibilities to the audiences, and I'm glad to hear their feedbacks about the film. So through the, because the audiences, they have the different cultural backgrounds, the conflicts and the confrontation of the different cultures will create some new points of views towards the film. So that is that will seem to be very interesting to me.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
我想这个这部分还是开放给大家，如果看完影片，如果你有什么问题，或者说你希望可以跟我们分享一些什么观点，都可以欢迎留下来再多做一些讨论。好，OK。那过去也有一些观众在台湾有许多观众甚至看到八次这部影片，就反复进戏院看八次，那也有很多观众表示 半梦半醒之间把它看完，睡睡醒醒，醒来觉得更好看。所以，如果你很累，你睡一下醒来，还是可以再重新再看一次这个影片。
Like he said that there are some audience in Taiwan, they watch this film at most at 8 times. And they say, so here's his kind reminder that if you fell asleep during the screening, it doesn't matter, just to wake up and continue to watch, it will become better. So maybe it's quite an experience to watch it, between awake and sleepness. So enjoy the film.